Chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. I know that kind of throws you because we're in 1 Kings, but I want to read a statement to you, and I'm going to give it to you a couple times just to make sure you drive it home to your heart. As soon as you find Romans 1, look this way. Hello, Carrie. How are you? It's good to see you. Good. Alexis, good to see you too. All right. Here it is. Idolatry is the most serious and contaminating sin there is. Idolatry is the most serious and contaminating sin there is. Let me give it to you one more time. Idolatry is the most serious and contaminating sin there is. Now, if that is true, then we need to understand exactly what idolatry is. Last week, as we were in 1 Kings, and we looked at the idolatry of Jeroboam and how that idolatry failed when his son died, we talked at the beginning of that lesson a little bit about what idolatry is. And throughout the week, I had several comments, several emails, comments about the lessons, questions about the lesson, and it got me thinking a little more about the topic. And because of that, as I've thought about that, I've decided to spend a whole week today on it, the whole lesson on idolatry. If indeed idolatry is the most serious and contaminating sin there is, then we need to know what idolatry is today. We need to know what God thinks about it. And we need to know what we should do about it, okay? So, first of all, this morning, I want to talk about the attributes of idolatry. The attributes of idolatry. And to be honest with you, this is the hardest part. I spent quite a bit of time Friday studying and Saturday studying. And I got up this morning, my alarm went off at 6 o'clock, and the first thing that came into my mind was this lesson. And I thought, it's not going to cut it. So I started over. Now, obviously, I used some of the stuff that was in the lesson already, but I just didn't like the direction. I just didn't think it was clear. So I have a new outline that we hope will be clear, okay? So the attributes of idolatry, what is? Let me give you a couple of things. Number one, idolatry always begins with a wrong view of God. Now, I hope you have your you know, thinking caps on this morning. I hope that you're not just here, you know. Because this, you're going to have to think, and my prayer has been, God, help me to understand it so I can make them understand it, so we can all understand it, so we can apply it to our lives. Idolatry always begins with the wrong view of God. Okay? That's our first main subpoint. Here's what one man said. Idolatry is more than worshiping some inanimate object. It is having an unworthy conception of God. Now, this man went on to say that any time you have a wrong view of God, at that point, it is idolatry. I'm not sure that I can go that far. For instance, he would say, if you worry, anybody worried this week? Okay. Anybody that worries, he would say, would be an idolater because they have a wrong view of God. I'm not sure that I would go that far. But I can say with certainty that wrong thinking about God leads to idolatry. Now, you're in Romans chapter 1, and in my first outline, I was going to read two verses and not spend a whole lot of time. In this outline, I'm going to spend a lot of time here because this is a crucial passage to understand exactly what idolatry is. Now, if you look in Romans chapter 1, verse 19... we find that God has revealed himself to every person. Okay? And it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. When you look at this passage, we can see that God has revealed himself to every person. Now, that is a crucial truth. That is a crucial truth. Now, how did God do it? There are two ways in this passage that God revealed himself to every person. And they are creation and let me think. Maybe I skipped that verse. Look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest where? In them. It is through man's conscience, through creation, that God has actually revealed himself. And notice those terms, verse 19. That which may be known of God. Verse 20. The invisible things of God are clearly seen or known in creation. What does Psalm 19:1 say? Anybody know that verse? The heavens declare the glory of God. In creation, according to the Word of God, God has revealed his very being. And notice in these verses, in verse 20, it says, even his eternal power and Godhead. God has made that available through creation, through conscience, so that every person can have a knowledge of God even through that. Now, there is another source of knowledge, by the way, in Psalm 19. It goes on. Of course, he talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. Then he goes on and he talks about what? Anybody know? That's in there. The firmament shows his handiwork. But when he goes past creation, what else does he talk about in Psalm 19 that reveals God to us? His word. Yeah, the written word of God. But in this passage, he says, all right, everybody has the ability to know God. Now notice verse 21. Because that when they, what's the next word? Knew. They knew God. Why are people idolaters? We'll talk about the jungles. It was funny when I was reading one commentator. He said this people in Bula Bula. Well, we were just in Fiji, and of course they say Bula as their greeting. You know, so why are there people today who are bowing down to idols? Is it because they don't know God? Because they've never had the opportunity to know God? They don't have any idea about God? He says, when they knew God. Now, when these folks, through creation, through conscience, and that includes us, know God, what should be the response? Worship, which means what? Obey, submit, what's that? Honor and reverence to his name. I heard glorify somewhere too. All of these things are part of that. But when we know who God is, we are to submit to him. We are to bow the knee to him. We are to trust him to meet our needs. We are to know that he alone is worthy of reverence and praise. And by the way, this is seen in heaven in Romans 5:12, saying with a loud voice, what'd they say? What'd this multitude say? Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Look, when you know God, you know that he is worthy of your trust. He is worthy to be first in your life. He is worthy to supply all your needs. He is worthy to be obeyed. He is worthy to be exalted. And so the first commandment, as Jesus summed it up, was in Matthew 5:22-37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. Why? Why should you love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind? Because he's worthy. That's exactly right. Because he's worthy. Now that's what we're seeing here in Romans chapter 1. Okay? A knowledge of God should lead us to worship. But what did these people do? What did they do? Idolatry occurs when we don't give God his rightful place. Look what these folks did. Verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. They had all these crazy, empty thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And what did they do? They didn't treat him like God. They didn't exalt him like God. They didn't trust him like God. Instead, verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We talked about Jeroboam. He made two calves. Were they an accurate representation of God? I don't think so. So man made gods of trees and the sun and the moon and stars and all these things, and they're all of these different gods they made up, and of course all of them have their human frailty. And they said, you know what, the things that they learned about God, the thing they knew about God, they said, this is not true. Now what does that lead to? When you say the things that are revealed in Scripture about God are not true, what does that lead to? Well, it's right here in the passage. It says, wherefore God also gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth into a lie. Here we go. And did what? And worshiped and served the creature. What do you call that? Idolatry. Idolatry. They did not serve the God that was revealed to them, but instead they served the creature. They served all of these things. So when you study the religions of the world, especially in the past, you find out that they had a fertility goddess. They had a god of rain, and they would pray to the god of rain that he would bring rain. So who were they depending on to bring rain, Jehovah God or their gods? This is idolatry, folks. When you turn from the truths about God and you change them and you begin to make your own gods and you place your trust and your faith in those gods and you look to those gods to meet your needs. How are we doing so far? Are you with me? Are you against me? You don't know where you are. Okay? Okay. Now, this is why in the Heidelberg Catechism, here's what it says. Idolatry is having or inventing something in which one trusts or place alongside of the true God who's revealed himself in the Word. When we are trusting something besides God to meet our needs, God calls that idolatry. When we give the honor and the worship and the service and the sacrifice to something beside that God deserves, that's idolatry. If you've ever said, I can't be happy until I have or do blank, unless that is please God, it's idolatry. Because you are looking to something. We are looking to something or someone besides God to do what God has promised to do for us. I can only feel safe and secure when I have. So what are you trusting in for your safety and security? Not God. Now, we've kind of seen how what we would call the pagans are led to idolatry and how they responded. But what about you and me? You say, Gary, I don't struggle with idolatry at all. Now, if that's your answer, you don't understand what idolatry is. I'll be honest with you. The more I studied this lesson, the more I studied this thought, the more I saw idolatry in my life. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I'm an idolatrous machine. I mean, it just happens. I've never said it in my life to say, I would like to be an idolater. But boy, it sure comes naturally. It sure comes naturally. Let's nail it down. All right, how does it happen? How can you, in 2016, how is it possible for you, sitting here looking so nice at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you're not wearing your loincloth or anything, you're not out in the jungles, you're not bound, how is it possible that we can be involved in idolatry? Now, here's what I'm going to see if I made my point. Where does idolatry start? Wrong view of God. Thank you, Jim. I feel so much better. You're the man. Good. The wrong view of God. You ever have a wrong view of God? God cannot make me happy. And therefore, I'm going to... God, that's exactly right. God is not enough. He is not able to provide my needs, so I'm going to... He's not able to promote me to the position I need to be in, so I'm going to... He is not able to provide the pleasure I need, so I'm going to... Those are all ways or things that lead to idolatry. Now, what are some of those things they lead to? Let me just kind of tap a couple of them on the head. What are some things, and we mentioned this last week, but these are a little different. What are some things that we here in America, in the Bible Belt, might be looking to meet our needs? Well, number one, and I don't know that these are in order necessarily of importance, but many people today are looking to money to meet their needs. We call that materialism, okay? They are relying on money to do what God has promised them to do. I know a man who was serving the Lord here in this church, and he confessed to someone, you know, I really have trouble loving money. What was he really saying? Money is my idol. It's my God. It's my idol. And he was serving the Lord, but you know, after a while, he started dropping out of church on Sundays, and when I would contact him and talk to him, well, I've got to work every Sunday now. I'm working 7 days a week, so I can do this and this and this. And he's not in this church anymore. What was the problem? Well, he wanted to serve the Lord, but he wanted to serve money. What does the Bible say about that? You cannot serve God and mammon or money or those kinds of things. Now, I don't know if this is true of anybody in here. Probably isn't. For some people, their God is education. I mean, they've got to have 15 letters after their name or they're just not anybody. And they are relying on that education. Now, by the way, is there anything wrong with having money? No. In fact, if you've got too much and you feel like it's become an idol... I can help you out, really, seriously. Is there anything wrong with education? Now, I know that we could debate what kind of education, all those kinds of things, but is there anything wrong with learning and having knowledge? And again, that's kind of debatable, too. I don't know how to ask this question correctly, but is it wrong to have a letter behind your name? No. No. Yes, sir. Sure. Sure. And they're relying on their education, and this kind of ties in with a couple down the road, instead of God. Well, I'm an educated man. My uncle is this way. He's a brilliant man. PhD in chemistry or science of some sort of thing. Was raised just like my dad. Went off to a secular university. Unfortunately, when you major in science, if you're not really careful, before long you believe it. And he did. And he sends atheist stories to my dad. My dad sends Bible stuff to him, and it can get kind of exciting sometimes. But some people look at education. That's probably not most of our trouble. But the next one probably is. Here is probably the thing I battle the most, okay? Entertainment. Entertainment. You know, This can be a lot of things. Let me ask you a question. Now, this is kind of dirty, but here's the question. And maybe I'm speaking to the men more because this is kind of where I live. Which day do you look forward to the most? Saturday or Sunday? You say, well, that's an easy question. I like the NFL a whole lot better than college football, so that's no problem, right? Isn't it sad? Now, I've been guilty of this, that we live for Saturday because Tennessee's playing football. Now, don't look at me like that. Now, unless you're an Alabama fan, you know. Okay? And if you're an Alabama fan, that is idolatry. There's no doubt about it. Let me ask you a question. Is sports in and of itself wrong? No. But when it becomes our priority, when we live and die by that football score, now you're all happy today because they won. Although, to be honest, with the last 10 minutes, they look pitiful. But if they had lost, some of you would be in mourning today. And I'll be honest with you, it affects me just the same way. If I'm not careful. What's that? Do they play football in Pennsylvania? Is this a confession, Galen? Okay. When Penn State loses, are they undefeated still or have they lost? What's their record? Is it wrong? Is it wrong to play golf? Yes. Amen. For a lot of us, it probably is because we lose our salvation, we lose our testimony on the golf course. Okay. No. Is it wrong to watch Tennessee play football? No. Now, again, if you're an Alabama fan, you're saying yes, but is it wrong to go fishing? Now, that's a different story, but when these things become more important than serving God, or we sacrifice what belongs to God to do these things, it's idolatry. Look, when my happiness depends on a score of a football game, let's be honest, that's idolatry. Okay. Now, we can plug in a lot of things there, but the point is, some people, the idol is Facebook. And I love to rail on Facebook because I don't have a Facebook account. And that's why I rail on fishing, because I don't like to fish. I just kind of threw golf in there just so you wouldn't say, well, look at him talking about everything else. But I've played golf like 6 times this year. So now I'll be honest with you. Men's basketball on Monday night. I've been having some hip issues. My chiropractor said, I just went to a chiropractor, and one of the first things he says was, don't play basketball Monday night. I said, what? Are you serious? Now, the reason I love basketball on Monday night so much is because I get to preach to the guys. Do you believe that? That basketball on Monday night can become my idol. And doing well and beating these young pups can become an idol in my life. I tell you, folks, I don't have to do anything to let things creep into my life that take my affection from God and my sacrifice and my service to God. It just happens. It just happens. And I guess this has kind of been confession this morning, because I'm telling you what some of mine are. But I'm wondering, as I'm talking about this, are you kind of nailing down some things in your life that God said, oh, buddy, that's become far too important. Far too important. Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah, and I don't know where you stand. I personally am excited about what happened Tuesday. You may be bitter and upset about it. You'll get over it in time. I've been bitter for 8 years, so, you know. but let's be honest. Let's be honest. I hope you're not looking to government to meet your needs and change this world. It's exactly right. The heart has to change. Now, let me give you a couple more verses. Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah. That was close, wasn't it, Jim? He said jet airplane. You're okay. You're okay. Sure. Sure. Yeah, good. And it leads me right to Colossians 3:5. Listen to this verse, okay? Mortify therefore your members, which means put them to death, which upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Now, we would say, yeah, those are all bad. I don't know quite what that is, but it must be bad, okay? Here's the next one. And covetousness. Ooh, wait a minute. What is covetousness? Boy, that overwhelming desire to have, isn't it? And by the way, it says covetousness, which is idolatry. Idolatry. He goes on to say in Philippians 3:19 that some people, their God is their, you know that verse? Their God is their belly. What does that mean? They bow down and worship their stomach, you know, that's not what that means. I mean, all the things of satisfaction, all the physical stuff, that's what they worship. Wow. Now, I got to hurry. I hope that you have gotten a little bit of a glimpse of what idolatry is. I'll be honest with you. I find it sometimes very difficult to really nail it down. But remember, God deserves our sacrifice, our praise, our worship, our dependence, our obedience. When we give that to anything else, idolatry. Now, what does God think about it? Now, what do we think about our idolatry? I cry when Tennessee loses. So what? No big deal. Right? What does God think about it? Let me give you that. Okay? Second thing. God's attitude toward idolatry is very interesting to me. What's the first commandment? No other gods. What's the second commandment? No idols, no images. You think God thinks this is important? We could even maybe throw the third one in. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But I'll tell you how God thinks about idolatry. God abhors our idolatry. Deuteronomy 7:25 says, "The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein." He said, when you come into the promised land, destroy all this stuff, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 16:22 says, "Neither shalt thou set thee up an image which the Lord thy God hateth." I've already read to you Colossians 3:5-6. I did not mention the rest of the verse. And it says, "And covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sakes the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Why does God pour his wrath? Because they are idolaters. Why do you think that God abhors idolatry? I'll tell you why. Idolatry is a direct attack on the very character and person of God. When I say, I've got to have money to meet my needs, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get it, then I have just said, as a believer, God, you don't have the ability to meet my needs. When I say I've got to have this and this and this to feel secure, I'm saying God cannot make me secure. When I'm saying I've got to do this and have this and do this to be happy, I'm saying God does not have the ability to make me happy. It is very assault on the very person and character of God. And did you realize, now we're believers, probably most of us, if not all of us today, but idolatry will keep a lot of people from going to heaven. We talked about a wrong view of God. How do most unbelievers, what do they think about God? Well, God is love. And what's the next thought? God loves us so much, surely he wouldn't send us to hell. That's idolatry. It's an overemphasis on one attribute of God and not to the other. I got to go quickly. Here we go. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 10. You know this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And you know that verse. It's the next verse I'm going to nail. But there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, do what? Flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. If you're sitting here this morning and God has said, that's not good, what should our attitude be? Well, you know, it's just this little thing. No, our attitude should be, oh God, help me to flee from it. God hates it. God abhors it. In 1 John 5:21, he says, little children, keep yourself from idols. Hey, believers, we need to say, you know what? God hates it. God abhors it. It is a terrible sin. I am going, with the Lord's help, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to change. Now, how do you change? Now, I want you to think, what is the root cause of idolatry? Remember this from 20 minutes ago? Wrong view of God. All right, so what's the solution? Well, I'm just going to quit watching tennis football. Now, that may help your blood pressure. It may help you live longer. You just never know, especially if they end up playing Alabama at the end there. Or if you're watching LSU next time in Florida, all that may help you, but it won't change the root problem. I think a lot of times as believers, we're so guilty of this. We go after the leaves, all the fruit, but we don't do anything about the root. And the root problem is a wrong view of God. So, how are you going to get a right view of God? Well, turn the TV on and watch all those preachers on TV, right? That will, more than likely, most of those will help you to get a worse view of God than the right view of God. Now look, why did God give us this book? To reveal himself to us. This is why it's here. God has revealed himself. This is his revelation. And the way to know God is to get in the Word of God, to be like the Apostle Paul, where he said, that I may know him. Do you know God? Do you know, now, knowing about God is not enough, but that's where it starts. You've got to know about him. You said this week, I just didn't have time to read the Bible. Well, you had time for idolatry. Look, if we don't have a right view of God, folks, we're going to slide into idolatry real easily. We're going to do it. It's going to happen. Remember, an idol is anything loved or the person loved more than God, anything desired more than God, treasured more than God, enjoyed more than God. Idolatry is the most serious and contaminating sin that there is. Look, folks, we as believers need to quit justifying our idolatry. We need to nail it down. And we need to get a right view of God. And if you'll do that, you'll begin to trust him. You begin to look to him to have your needs met, to have your satisfaction, to trust in him. See, you can't trust God if you don't know God. Now, there are people in here that I hardly know. I met Chris, I guess, this is probably the second time. Now, I'm not saying that Chris is a liar or anything else, but I don't know Chris. If Chris tells me I'm going to be at your house tomorrow at 5 o'clock, he may be there, he may not. I don't know Chris. I don't know if he's a man of his word or not. He'll never come back now after this. But there are some of you I know very well. I've known you for 30 or 40 years. And if you say you're going to do something, you're going to be there, I just bank on it because you always have been that way. And when you know God, you'll know what he is. You know what he's like. Boy, you know you can trust him. You know you can rely on him. You know he is worthy of your praise, of your worship, of your sacrifice when you know God. Okay? I hope this has made sense this morning. If it hasn't, I apologize. It's all we could do. Okay? Lord, we come to you today, and I find in my life it's so easy to get sidetracked. God, I do want to know you. I do want you to be supreme in my life. I do want to praise you, and I want to glorify you. I want to serve you. I want to sacrifice all for you. And God, oh, help me, I pray, to make knowing you the most important thing in my life. Walking with you, relying on you, glorifying you in all that I say and do. And God, help us as believers to drive these idols out of our lives and put you in a supreme place on the throne of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord willing, we'll move on and first.